Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey everybody, welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm here today with Patty Foster to talk about how to rise from the ashes and shine. Wow, during this program, we're going to talk about how to spiritually process the anguish of broken dreams, including potentially a broken body or a broken mind. We're going to talk about how long it took after Patty survived a full body of broken bones, a 6-week coma, and a traumatic brain injury before God had her up and on the platform telling her story. We're going to talk about how to believe God can use your horrific and tragic event for his glory, when to share and when to be still, what to do while you're waiting, how to make the most of every personal connection and interaction along the way, and also the best part of living on the other side of dying. Our guest today is Patty Foster. She's the author, speaker, and survivor, now advocate for people with brain injuries. Her incredible story, combined with her joy and love for others, leave audiences full of hope and determination to make the most of every situation. You can learn more about Patty at pattyfoster.com and invite her to speak via womenspeakers.com. And I'm excited right now to invite you to the stage. Patty, welcome to you.
Great. Nice to be here. Thanks so much. Nice to be on the stage with you.
You bet. And I don't know how long we've known each other. We haven't gotten to meet face-to-face, hug-to-hug yet, mm-hmm. but we certainly have known each other for a long time.
Yes.
And mostly through womenspeakers.com and your amazing ministry to women everywhere, and especially specifically to those who are loving or living with or walking through or have had themselves brain injuries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
God has gifted you so specifically for that. You got a little puppy to join us? Oh, okay. I thought maybe one of your puppies was coming.
My heater would come on and make noise. Yes. Oh, yes. Loving the moment, living the moment on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have such a beautiful ministry that goes just all over. Yes. We wanted to start right now with how to spiritually process the anguish of broken dreams. And your story, I mean, you were so incredibly broken. Mm-hmm. Maybe just for those who aren't familiar with that, just the real short version.
Sure. Incredibly broken indeed. I was full of life. I was a vivacious human being before the crash. And certainly was one of those situations we did not see coming. There were four of us in a Tahoe, all having our seatbelts on, good law-abiding citizens, and I was behind the driver. I had just taken off my seatbelt to turn and check on flowers that we had in the storage area of the SUV. Totally stopped. As I turned, apparently, whew, bam, that's when the impact happened. A semi pulling a tractor trailer full of cars, barreling down the highway at 70 miles per hour, plowed into our totally stopped Tahoe. So the way my body is turned, it then ejected my body like a missile out of the back opposite side of the window of the Tahoe, out of a window in the back of the Tahoe designed not to be open. Apparently, I must have a hard head, a thick skull, because apparently they said the right side of my eye and side hit it first, and it just began ripping everything from inside that ear and cheek and head and shoulder and everything that went out, ripped off and into the highway. And they said I was suspended in the air. They said even some by the hands of God, as from beneath me, the SUV spun and moved suddenly down to the ground. My body shot, skidded across the highway, stopped in a lane of traffic on the other side of the intersection. Eyewitnesses saw it all. First responders appeared, didn't see my body in the highway. Long story short, when they did arrive to get to my body, is there hope? No. They said the body was totally discombobulated in ways that God didn't design the body to move and to be able to make it through. Mm-hmm. And they would look for a pulse, lose the pulse. Everything was ripped off, hanging out. I won't be too graphic. And 60% of my blood is gone. Everything's fractured from the top of my head to the tips of my toes, all throughout there. So long story short, the white sheets pulled over me. She's dead. Apparently, one of the eyewitnesses, the place was covered with people. 911 inundated with calls. One of the eyewitnesses heard a gurgling noise coming from beneath that white sheet. I don't know that I've met this person as of now. I hope I do one day. And so when that person started yelling, life, life, they contacted the second life flight helicopter, landed, flight medic, flight nurse, attempting to put me on, keep me out of shock. My body shut down into a coma. So for 6 weeks, I'm a living dead person. Downtown Dallas, in the rehab, I began to wake slowly. And they're the ones that taught me how to live again. So miracles still happen. May we lay hold of each moment. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Every time I hear your story, it's new again and just so horrific and so amazing. And you're so beautiful. You are beautiful.
Thank you.
Inside and out. And such a testimony. And actually, we were talking before you came on about you getting to share this story all over and even with leaders.
Yes. All over the world, Marnie. Yeah. It's amazing how God will cross our paths with different people at different times. And we won't see it necessarily coming. However, when that moment comes, God always nudges us or gives us that unction, that anointing to walk in it, whether we understand or not. And so around the world, Dr. Adams and I travel. She's the founder, president of Hope After Brain Injury. It's the only faith-based nonprofit organization for brain injury that we're aware of in this country thus far. Mm-hmm. As we're out speaking with the International Brain Injury Association, the National Brain Injury Association, all of these places, living lifetime legends, my path will cross with them. And they may have nothing to do with God and nor want to have anything. However, again, God opens the door so I get to speak from that 8th percentile bracket to have influence on those movers and shakers who make the decisions to affect everyone's lives around the world.
Right.
Thank you, God, for that moment. Because you know how it is, Marnie. Mm-hmm. If we waste time to try to understand a moment, usually
it's
that
over.
Moment is gone.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. When you say 8%, what are you talking about?
Yeah, in the entire world. In the entire world of the severity of traumatic brain injury that I suffered and to the high functioning that I am able to do today, they said it's actually less than an 8th percentile bracket of the entire world that is able to do what I am able to do from that level of severity to this ability of functioning. It's beyond being explained. And so many of us are not able to communicate. So thank God I'm able to and to lean into that moment.
Right. And so beautifully you communicate so beautifully.
Thank you.
Okay. So now there is spiritual anguish that comes with waking up in a bed like that, that comes with realizing all of this rehab ahead and what will even come back.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing too, Marnie, because so much does not even appear to even a hint of coming back because nothing exists in our minds. Most of us, like, you know, with your husband, what appears in front of our eyes at that moment is all that exists in our minds, our lives, or anything. It doesn't matter. Nothing exists to us. We're very much like a toddler, an infant. And so, but there is lots of anguish. And where that comes from is the damage of all of the lobes, of all the different levels within the skull, within the brain, within its functioning of each of the lobes of the hemispheres, the right and the left, the frontal, the temporal, the occipital, the parietal, the cerebellum, the brainstem, all of these functions are damaged So it's very much like telephone wires have been pulled and ripped and cut and severed, and nothing knows what to do or how to reconnect. So there's massive irritation, agitation that comes, not because of your character, not because you're a bad person.
Oh, right.
If you've made a mistake, it's traumatic brain injury. That's part of the difficulty of learning to be reformed and rehabbed in the process.
Yeah, you mentioned my husband. And for those of you who don't know, my husband had a traumatic brain injury years ago. He was riding a snowmobile and hit a series of bumps. And the last one sent him and the snowmobile straight up in the air spinning. And the snowmobile hit his head. So got 2,000 pounds hitting his head. And yeah, so you and I have talked about this before, how, you know, coming off of something like that, it's pretty, you know, pretty intense and life changes, but God is so good. And he's been so good to you and he's been so good to us and so grateful for that. Amen. So how long this whole process? So you were in a coma for 6 weeks, but that was really only the beginning.
Very much. It's kind of like my book. The very first chapter of my book is called A Beginning, .. and an End. And how it all starts. Because just like my book's title with my raw story, Coping with Traumatic Brain Injury. One woman's journey from death to life. Coping, that's a key word in me. Coping is a primal word of learning to live and handle life after traumatic brain injury. Because just like you said, that 6 week coma, that was only the beginning.
Right.
Because I was a living dead person and nothing came back to me, Marnie. As you know, I began waking. It was a very slow, arduous waking. It wasn't quick, hello world, I'm back.
Right.
So nothing came back. You know, people say, didn't you remember, you know, when you began to wake? I said, no, I didn't remember language, English, German, French. I knew nothing. And so my ABCs, retaught. Numbers, retaught. Adding, subtracting, retaught. All the details, seeing, chewing, swallowing, allowing that, knowing how to chew. What does this mean? What is the importance? Or your family, friends, parents, job, words did not make sense to me. And I'd been in media all my life. I've been a radio personality, TV things.
Right.
Nothing came back. Hallelujah. God never left me. He was my one constant.
So how long were you in the hospital and rehab before you got to go home?
Way over 100 days, 100 plus days from being in the acute hospital, five and a half weeks. And of course, my parents, my family had all kinds of opposition with insurance and coverage.
Right.
From there, acute hospital, you go into continued rehab as an inpatient. From there, transitional rehab, you know, where you learn to take care of yourself, grooming, grocery, everything. Cooking.
Sure. Did you have to, you had to learn to walk again, everything. Yes.
You know, and I wore the gait belt forever and in the wheelchair and the walker and persevere.
Such a long process and much of it painful.
Killer hard, killer painful. And, and the nerve damage. And your husband might have gone through this deep nerve damage. Painful. There was nothing that could give it a relief. I mean, maybe you would have it for a few minutes and then it's back and it's deep where you can't reach it. You can't touch it.
So how long, now this is the question someone walking through their own valley wants to know for you, how long from when you had the accident until when you were on a platform sharing your story?
Well, my mom became my driver because it took me years to want to drive, go through the driver's license concept you have to do in practice. But it was after 5 years, people would talk to me and ask me, because I'd been in radio and some of the listeners.
Right.
However, they would be very merciful to me, knowing what I'd gone through.
Right.
So they would allow me without pressure, without guilt, to do what I could or answer a question that I could or however much time.
Yeah.
So I was able to do just a wee bit, probably 5 years plus or minus.
Right.
But it took me 5 years before I had my first individual single memory of the old Patty before the crash.
Wow. Wow.
So you can imagine the time frame, the pace is completely different than us, than any non-head injury person would imagine. Brain injury has its own healing pace. No matter what you think, we Americans, we get very, very quick and instantaneous. No. Not with brain injury. It will force you to swallow our pride.
Yeah, right. And then, you know, it just keeps the gains can keep coming for, you know, they told us 7 years, but honestly, it can go on way past that.
Yeah. The rest of your life.
Yes.
You could much continue to experience. Like my voice, Marnie, because I was a vocal person. I was a mezzo-soprano. I thought I was going to real music when I finished up at college. But during all of the time, those months of the tubes down my throat.
Right.
Killed my right cord. And there's so much, because it won't completely come together there, the cords won't. So there's so much damage that's been done vocally.
Yeah.
But to this day, I'll travel and study with a certain vocal coach.
Yeah.
And continuously, and I have just crossed the 20-year mark, Marnie.
Wow.
There is healing,
right.
Restoration, continuing slowly, but continuing even in my vocal mechanism.
Yeah.
And all of that vocal cavity and resonant cavity through there. So I continue.
Yeah. And the thing is, and this is one of the things that people say about me, is that the one thing they always say is that I'm so persistent. I'm just consistent and persistent. And what I see in you too is just this joyful persistence in trusting God and just taking the next step forward and saying, yes, I'm going to do this hard thing. Yes. I'm going to go to this strange place. Yes. I'm going to speak when I don't feel like I can.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
There your puppies are.
But that's so true. Just like with us, a small yes can be a huge yes to God.
Right. And we really have no idea. That small yes can be saying, yes, I'll walk down the other way on the grocery store aisle just because I was prompted to do so, or could be going around the world. It doesn't matter. Just say yes to Jesus.
Exactly. Just do the next thing.
Do everything.
Because so often we try to just bombard ourselves with this instantaneous
mindset. And I always just say, you know, I love that verse. There's the word of God is like a lamp to my feet and light to my path. And I'm walking through a forest and I kind of know where the cabin is over there.
Yeah.
But I need that lamp to show me my next step. And so, you know, you've got your big picture goal where you're going, but then you just take it literally one step at a time.
Yes.
And there is nothing more one step at a time than recovering from a massive physical, emotional, mental trauma like you had. It's
because
one step.
Yeah, and so many people think, Marnie, that in order for you to be unwell or sick or have a problem, it must be visible to us. Visually, we must be able to see it. Therefore, if we can't see it,
it doesn't exist.
And you may know Susan H. Connors. She was president of Brain Injury Association of America for years. She's just retired. Susan said once, brain injury is often invisible, since changes are on the inside, because the primary part is on the inside.
Right.
It's not the physical, as most people think. Yes, it does happen, but that's not the prime part.
Right.
And so with that, that's even another kind of adversary that we fight with from within.
Right. And I've always, and I've always said that about depression and other emotional traumas that happen too. It's very internal. And some people say, well, then it's all in your head. You're making it up. And I just say, it's as real as a broken arm. It's as real as any other breakage.
So real.
It's not different. It just is different how visible it is.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
Because just like that, most people think, oh, you know, with a physical break in an arm or something, 6 weeks. Brain injury.
Oh, man.
Uniquely, its own.
Right. Problem. Yeah, absolutely. Case. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah. Well, there is a time to share our traumas and there is a time not to share our traumas. Mm-hmm. I always teach gals who want to write or speak about something God has brought them through. I always say this, as long as the wound is gaping and raw, it is mm-hmm. not time yet to mm-hmm. share it. But mm-hmm. when it is scarred over, it's actually that place on your soul is actually more tough than before you had the injury. Oh, and amazing. Now is the time to walk out and share it. And of course, I'm not talking about with people who are safe and near to you. I'm talking about like with the public, like getting on a platform or writing a book or getting on a media show where they can ask anything they want and rip you to shreds. You know, you have to be ready emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, in every way to have that raw pain exposed, and the best time is after it's all healed over and scarred over.
Yeah. Amazing. You know, when you're saying that, reminds me of M.L. Haskins. Corrie mm-hmm. ten Boom would talk about her, Pamela Rosewell Moore, Corrie's last traveling companion. And M.L. Haskins, this one portion says this, I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I might tread safely into the unknown. Mm-hmm. He said to me, step out into the darkness. Put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and mm-hmm. safer than a known way.
Wow.
That's our Father. Because even when I was in that coma, as I said to you, he was my one and only constant. Marnie, I knew him better. He was more real to me there than you are with me right now.
Mm-hmm, right.
And there was never a moment left, lost, forgotten. Mm. And through that, through the ashes, through the ashes, he has taken me to grow me, develop me for exactly such a time as this.
Yes.
To meet head on the society of the world that is coming against us, the culture of the world that is coming against us, even that is so being impactful to the church in Israel, in America, and how he is calling us, walk with me, baby girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God's got this. Mm-hmm. God's got you. Mm-hmm. Believe.
Right. And there will come a time. Our daughter this last year had a baby that was born with laryngomalacia. So he was struggled breathing. And early on, she needed a lot of help overnight. And, you know, he had to be held 24/7 at first and to just be able to breathe. And so at one point she said, Mama, I feel like I shouldn't be having so much help anymore. And I said, Carrie, you're going to know when you're ready to not have help when you have kind of this sensation that goes like this. I kind of think it's worth it for me to just do it myself now and have my house back and have our lives back. You know, she goes, I haven't had a thought like that. And I said, right, because right now you need all the help you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to come like that for you guys too. When it's time to tell your story, when it's time to take it public and let other people who have no comprehension of what you just went through, listen to it. You're going to know in your heart that I cannot keep still.
Yes.
It shouldn't be that sense of, I suppose I should tell my story.
No.
I mean, how was it for you? Exactly. How did you know? Yeah.
When they started asking, then I just decided, here's how much I can do right now. And they would allow it. And I would not beat myself up. And the, one of the blessings of brain injury is you forget so much. So there's a lot you forget that you don't get to beat yourself up with because you don't remember it to beat yourself up with it.
Nice.
So there's a blessing in this tragedy.
Yes. Yeah.
But when people ask, you know, my gut, it's kind of like Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, your corazon, your deep heart, your root, your very earth. beginning. And so from there, I take that step. And so I know that that peace in the midst of, to lay hold of. And it reminds me some even of the chapter titles. This was really in my mind before you and I came on my book, Table of Contents, just walking you through only 10 chapters. Listen to this. Chapter one, a beginning, dot, 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 and an end. Chapter two, the witnesses, how people are always watching. Chapter three, the first 72 hours, those critical moments. Chapter four, take me home. Chapter five, my friends, look at the impact people around us can have. Chapter six, waking up, then what happens? Chapter seven, getting my rhythm back, dealing with all that was there. Chapter eight, another step toward home. That was the safe spot. Chapter nine, life in the details. How true. And then chapter 10, moving forward in the midst of it all. But like you said, persistent, persevere.
Oh, so much perseverance.
Yeah. See, there are three things that looked and hit my head on my head. And this came a few years back when ladies and men had asked me to speak at one of their big events. That number one, lay hold of the moment.
Yeah.
And as you do, number two, lean into the moment.
Yeah.
And then three, live the moment on purpose.
Love that.
And God, especially us as believers, how the Holy Spirit gives us those nudge. And we just have that, my aunt called it the unction to know and follow that. Yeah, like Carrie and what she's dealing with and accepting help.
Yeah, I wanted to show you in my Bible, Colossians 3:15. It's highlighted, starred, smiley face. Because I feel like that verse, of all verses in the Bible, that verse sums up this peace that we can have walking with Jesus, that I don't have to know, I don't have to understand, I just have to listen and follow. Just listen and follow. God's got me. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know, even this morning, I'll be quick on this. Even this morning, Marnie, I was reading Proverbs 22 in the Living Bible. And one thing it says, some of the grandest learning that he wanted us to have is summed up in these words, trust in the Lord.
Right. It's the whole thing. Nothing about performance.
No, bottom line.
Nothing about trying harder. Just the closer we get to Jesus, the more we know him and the more we trust him. A bottom line. Yeah.
Amen.
So
Amen.
What do you do while you're waiting, Patty? All those months, all those days and even minutes while you're in the waiting, what did you do with your mind?
Yeah. When the mind was awake or alert or able to even have functioning, always I would always look at someone. I was like a little kid and God was so real to me. So I was always connecting with someone and through their eye, because I learned, Marty, as I began waking from the coma, that I, even though I couldn't communicate verbally, non-verbally, I could, that was my first language, non-verbals. So I could read your eyes. I could read your facial expression. I could read your touch, your tone of voice, your walking gait, the way you stood, your posture. And I would respond to that. And in fact, a question hit me and this stuck with me. Patty Foster, what does your life say when your mouth is not moving?
Wow. Yeah. Powerful.
Be about that. From this moment on, be about that. So make a difference now. Because you never know how many moments you have left. So while you have this moment,
I love that. I love that. I know for me, when I'm in trauma, I often just start saying the name of Jesus, just Jesus.
Jesus. I do too. Yes.
So much power in that name.
Like, you know, sometimes in the morning I'll wake up and all of a sudden my insides will just go into an anxious knot. And I'll just say, Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus. Yeah. So how do you actually capture and make the most of every personal connection and interaction along the way?
Two words, pay attention. Uh-huh. I pay attention to others, to the moment, to what's around, and I pay attention to them. I put them on center stage, serve them, be a servant leader, the way you and I were talking before we came on. Be a servant leader. Impact, invest in others so that I pay attention to them. I don't put myself on center stage. Don't be so selfish and self-centered and so full of pride. And that's just becoming so common in the church, out of the church, rich, young, poor. It doesn't matter. However, our Father says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not in your ability or your thought or your whatever the request may be, but you'll know. And as that some people say, your knower will know. The Holy Spirit will let you know.
This humility that you're talking about right now has nothing to do with how many people you're speaking to or anything like that. Moses, God said Moses was the most humble man on earth, and he was leading the largest nation.
Millions.
You know, right. And Jesus was so humble, and yet he was God. And so it's not about that. It's not about saying, if I were humble, I would never go on a platform. No, that's not it. No. It's about saying, when I'm on the platform, who is getting the praise and the glory?
I may have my notes planned, but the Holy Spirit is leading. It's kind of like Psalm 32:8 about He will instruct us in the way we should go and teach us and guide us. And if we'll just pay attention, even as we're talking, I learned about that through Corrie ten Boom as I would read about her back in the 80s, of learning how to listen to God even as you're living and talking and breathing.
Right. And I, you know, to those of you who say, well, then you should just not prepare. That's also, God can help you prepare. Yeah. I mean, it's like He's with you all the time. So don't not prepare thinking He's going to do. He calls us to be prepared, to make a vision, write a vision and make it plain. You know, I mean, He calls us to that too, but then to be flexible in His hand in the moment and just go with the flow, whatever He's asking us to do. So what's the best part of living on the other side of dying, Patty?
Getting to help others.
Oh,
to
beautiful.
Give away what I've been given.
Yeah.
Don't be a hog. Don't keep it to yourself. Patty, give it away. Mm-hmm. As I say, open-handed, palms up. Mm-hmm. I say yes to the Father before He ever asks me.
Oh, so beautiful. I love that. This has been my motto. I don't think you knew this for 2022, is I get to say yes to God every single time. Mm-hmm. And that's been my motto this year. And you know, I always thought I was, Patty. I really believed that I was. But what I was actually doing before this year is I was deciding when I would hear the Spirit call me, I was deciding whether to say yes or no. It's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I don't think I can do that. Or that seems too hard or uncomfortable. I don't think I could do that. So I was saying yes to God a ton of the time, even into areas of discomfort, but I had my boundaries, you know? So this year's been just real fascinating to shift my thinking from I'm supposed to say yes to God every time, or I'm going to try to say yes to saying yes to get to say yes to God.
Even and I believe very much for me, Marnie, that through the crash, through that taste of death, that is where my relationship, that intimacy with Him became so deep. Because as deeply as you've been hurt is as deeply as you can grow in Him.
That's what I always tell the new speakers. The new speakers who come to womenspeakers.com, when I'm welcoming them, I usually say something like this: you are now among some of the most amazing women on planet Earth. Because every woman has a story, but typically the women who are on platforms and who are writing books have horrific stories.
They gave me chills.
That point to a powerful, mighty, saving God. I know.
Hallelujah. Right?
And it's what you said is so true. However deep your low is today, that's how much high there is available to you. I mean, it's like, it is like in a measure almost. And God can, of course, do miracles and go outside the box anytime he wants. But that's the standard. That's like the sun rising and setting. It's just how it works. And so if you are experiencing a low, if you are broken in body, soul, or spirit, or mind, just remember, however broken you are, that's how much beauty and height and glory God has in your future. So be brave and hang in there.
Yes. You remind me of that. It's Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, the Message translation, when Peterson put it together. And he said, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Take courage. Don't be intimidated. Don't give them a second thought.
I love that.
Because God, your God, is striding ahead of you, and yet he's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you.
Oh, love that. Love that. Love you. Love you. Oh, so fun. And you're such a joy. So you guys want to totally go check out Patty's website over at pattyfoster.com. And Patty, what are they going to find when they get there?
They will find all kinds of photos. People love to look at photos and be nosy and be curious. Well, you can go to the photos page, the media page, all of the interviews I've gotten to do, all of the interviews that have been done of me, all of the books, and so many different comments, endorsements, things of the way that God has used these threads of his weaving for his purpose, his glory, our blessing. Through it all.
Absolutely. Amen. So pattyfoster.com. Don't miss that. If you want to invite her to speak over womenspeakers.com. Right before we came on, you were just telling, I was asking how your 2022 fall bookings and into 2023 were looking. And you were just telling me how that was going.
Well, so many great things are coming from womenspeakers.com.
So happy to hear that.
Yes. And so many in positive. I mean, following through, not just asking or perhaps but boom, at that moment, ready, accepted, chosen, decided.
That's one of the things that I really like. And some of the planners, of course, are inviting more than one, and so don't get back to you or something. But they really come in. They come in really ready to book. Yeah. So
I respect it's fun. That.
Yeah, it's fun to have you there as a featured speaker and be able to share your availability with them when they come there. Just know you are so loved, and your ministry is so valuable to the world. And we've been talking such a time as this. And you guys listening too, God has put a message and a ministry in your life, whether it's to your children, of course, maybe it's to a children's ministry or those who are struggling, homeless or struggling with physical things, whatever it is that God's put in your heart, just do it with all your might. It doesn't have to be on a platform or writing a book. Just wherever God puts you, just be wholly his and let him live fully through you. I just love you guys. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.